Good morning. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 26. We're in the home stretch, huh? Just one more. Leviticus chapter 26. Let's read. You shall not make for yourselves idols, nor shall you put up for yourselves an image of a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land or bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from your land, and no sword will pass through your land. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. And you will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so that you should not be their slaves, and I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror. Consumption and fever shall waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also, you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies shall eat it up. And I will set my face against you so that you shall be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when no one is pursuing you. If also after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I'll also break down your pride of power. I'll also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze. And your strength shall be spent uselessly, for your land shall not yield its produce, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague of you 7 times according to your sins. I will let loose among you the beasts of the field, which shall bereave you of your children and destroy your cattle, reduce your number to so that your roads lie deserted. And if by these things you are not returned to me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with hostility against you. I, even I, will strike you 7 times for your sins. I also bring upon you a sword, which will execute vengeance for the covenant. And when you gather together into your cities, I will send pestilence among you, so that you shall be delivered into enemies' hands. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread in ration amounts, so they will eat and not be satisfied. Yet, if in spite of this you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me, then I'll act with wrathful hostility against you, and I will punish you 7 times for your sins. Further, you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters you shall eat. I then will destroy your high places, I'll cut down your incense altars, and heap your remains on the remains of your idols, for my soul abhors you. I will lay waste your cities as well, and will make your sanctuaries desolate. I will not smell your soothing aromas, and I will make the land desolate, so that your enemies who settle in it shall be appalled over it. You, however, I will scatter among the nations, and will draw out a sword after you, as your land becomes desolate, and your cities become waste. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of the desolation while you are in your enemy's land. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation it will observe the rest which it did not observe on your Sabbaths while you are living on it. As for those of you who may be left, I also will bring weakness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a driven leaf will chase them. And even when no one is pursuing, they will flee as though from the sword, and they will fall. They will therefore stumble over each other as if running from the sword. Although no one is pursuing, and you will have no strength and stand up before your enemies, but you will perish among the nations, and your enemies' land will consume you. So those of you may be left with rot because of their iniquity in the land of your enemies, and also because of the iniquities of their forefathers, they will rot away with them. If they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their forefathers in their unfaithfulness, which they committed against me, and also in their acting with hostility against me, I also was acting with hostility against them to bring them into the land of their enemies, or if their uncircumcised heart becomes humbled, that they make amends for their iniquity. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob. I will remember also my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham as well, and I will remember the land. For the land shall be abandoned by them, and shall make up for its Sabbaths, while it is made desolate without them. They, meanwhile, shall be making amends for their iniquity, because they rejected my ordinances, and their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I abhor them as to destroy them, breaking my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, and I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and ordinances and laws which the Lord established between himself and the sons of Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. Amen. Some scholars believe this is actually the last chapter, and then 47 was added on later, but we're not going to get into that. So let's go with this. This is, we're dealing with the blessing of obedience. All right? This is really important, the blessing of obedience. If you look through the scriptures, you'll notice time and time again, even Jesus says, if you're my disciples, what are you going to do? You're going to obey my commandments. And so there's something about obedience that really is the proof positive evidence that this is your God and you belong to him. There really is not much other things in the scriptures. I mean, obviously it talks about heart. You know, we need to obey from our heart, and so Jesus takes us a little deeper. But in that same idea is there's something about obedience that really not only affects God, because when we obey, we also do his will. And so we can see the activity of God being done on this earth as is in heaven. But more than that, there's something that happens to us when we obey. So the first part, he talks about this, what this means to obey. So the first thing he says, okay, first of all, don't make yourself any idols. And don't set up an image or a sacred pillar. And so this would be more in line with the Canaanites. And this is the land that they're about to go to. You know, the sacred pillars, and there usually is writings on these things. This would be a Canaanite thing. And then he says later on, and you shall not place a figured stone. This would be the Egyptian, the obelisks. And so, you know, not these Canaanite things, not these Egyptian things. And you shall not bow down to these things because, he says, because I'm your God. And so because I'm your God, you don't do these kinds of things. And so it's like the question, what comes first? Listen, because he's your God, these things are omitted from your allegiance. And it should be just very, very clear in that regard. It's not that you don't do these things so he can be your God. No, because he's your God, you don't do these things. And then you should keep my Sabbaths, reverence my sanctuary, I'm the Lord. And so, you know, this is basically a summary statement, okay, going into the whole of Leviticus that goes on. So he comes to this point, and then he says, and if you walk in my statutes, if you keep my commandments, you carry them out, then he talks about his blessing. And look at how manifold these blessings are. I'll give you rains in their season. In Judea, there are two seasons. They call it the former rain and the latter rains. And so when it's time for the rain, I'm going to give it to you. This is really important because if it rains all day long and the rains are all kind of messed up, it's going to really wreak havoc on their crops. Think of it in this context. In Egypt, the rainy season and whatnot was really bad. And I mean, it was longer than a season. And so, generally speaking, for 3 months out of the year, they could not work their land because they're actually in like a foot of rain all the time. And so the land became quite useless. And so he's telling these guys, look, I'm going to give you two specific seasons for rain, and this is going to really help you. It's one after the harvest, it's one before the harvest. And then in this thing, he says it's going to produce, the trees will bear their fruit, and then the threshing will last for you until grape gathering. There were three different seasons for harvest. There was around, I'd say, mid-April, there was the barley harvest. 6 weeks later, there was the wheat harvest. So that got to you to about June. So about mid-April, it got to you about June, beginning of June. And then in July, in the summer, was the fruit harvest, so the grape, the vintage harvest. And so as he goes through these things, and, you know, there are seasons. So, you know, barley, and then a season of wheat, and then a season of grapes. And what the Lord is saying, he says, I'm going to bless you guys so much that there's going to be no break in the seasons. And so you're going to have so much barley, and then you're going to be, you know, dealing with that. And then the wheat's going to come. You're going to have so much wheat, and then that's going to be overflowing so much. And then when the grapes come, you're going to have so many grapes. And then by the time even that runs out, then it's time to plant again. And so he's talking about this bountifulness and perpetual provision of God that's going to continue to flow over and over again. And again, keep in mind that when they're in Egypt, I mean, 3 months that they couldn't do it. They just sat there because they couldn't work the land in what was probably considered a very important time for them in the harvest. And then not only that is you're going to farm and do these things, and then I'm going to provide safety and security around you, that you'll be peaceful in the land. You're going to lie down, and no one will make you tremble. In other words, you're going to be able to go to sleep and actually rest because you don't have to worry about a robber coming in. You don't have to worry about someone going out to your fields and stealing your sheep or stealing your fields. Remember, shepherds used to sleep with their flocks. You know, they were the literal door. And so it makes sense when Jesus says, I am the door, because that's literally what they did. Also, eliminate a harmful beast from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. In other words, you won't be invaded. You will chase your enemies, and they will fall before your sword. Because 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. Your enemies will fall before you by the sword. I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. And you will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. In other words, your storage, you'll have so much grain, wheat, all these things. You'll have so much that even when the rations and whatnot, you won't even need that because there's going to be so much food for you. And then not only will it happen, but you're going to have to actually clear out the sea because new harvest is coming. Right? And so, I mean, you're talking about, so you're not going to run out. You don't have to ration. The food is just going to keep coming and coming and coming. And so you think about a slave nation, okay, that's coming out. What would be the two things that would really, really hamper you? I mean, it would really get you down. The two things. One would be the issue of food. Okay, and so, I mean, this would be a huge aspect in that even the food that you harvested in captivity, you'd have to give quite a big portion to your masters. And now they can keep the food for themselves. The other issue that they have in hand is the issue of security. You know, at any time the Egyptians come and take our kids, you know, put them into slavery, do all kinds of stuff, and it says, now you can go to sleep secure. And so the two major issues of a slave nation, God says, not only I'm not going to turn this around, but I'm going to bless you so much. And all you have to do is obey. And I know that obedience is quite negative in our connotation because we're so sinful. You know, when we're told, hey, you know, you should obey, our initial instinct is, oh, you know, it's quite negative, but obedience to God's commandments gives you life. not only because there's benefits of obedience, but simply out of obedience, there's life that comes through it. So God says to us something really simple as, don't lie. And this is something we should be doing anyway, not lying. You know, just as moral human beings, you know, outside of our Christian faith or whatnot. And so even out of that place, he says, don't lie, because if you lie, it brings damage into your life. If you lie in a marital relationship, you're breaking trust, and it will bring all kinds of havoc in your marriage. And so these are simple things. And now, and if you don't lie, even more so, God says there's a blessing. There's benefits that he bestows on top of that when we simply obey what he asks us to do. In other words, what God asks us to do is for our benefit, not for his. You know what I mean? God asks us to obey him because he wants to bless us. He knows that if you do this, this will be fruitful and prosperous for your life. And so we need to look at obedience and commands and these things more in a positive light. You know, God doesn't do it for himself. He's doing it for us. Right? He knows that if we obey and if we simply do these things, you know, properly, that our life is going to be long and fruitful in all kinds of these things. That's why, you know, next year, at the beginning of the year, I'm going to be teaching quite extensively on the Ten Commandments. And so he continues on with this, and I'm the Lord your God, I brought you out of the Egypt, and you know, you're going to be blessed. Now, here's in 14, starts this long discourse, I mean, it's pretty long, about this is what happens when you don't obey. And you'll notice something woven through this, is that he gives people a chance. He says, if you don't obey me, if you reject my statutes, if you abhor my ordinances, you break my covenant, he says, then this is what's going to happen to you. Now the way I read this is, I don't necessarily think that God outright punishes us. But what I think then happens is when you disobey the Lord, the hand of the Lord comes off of you. In other words, we can think, especially in the new covenant, there is a grace. The grace comes off a bit, and now you are exposed to what normally would happen in your life outside of that happening. Think about this. You know, we had our town hall, and you know, we gave out umbrellas to people. It's raining today. What it's like? You know, God's hand over us, what it's like is you have, when it's raining, you have God's covering over you, and so you're dry, right? Now, when you disobey the Lord, you come outside of that covering, and guess what? It's raining on you, and you're going to get wet. In other words, this is what normally should happen to you, but because God's covering you, because you're obeying him, and you're under that covering, you're away from the damage of the rain and everything that happens. And so he comes to this place, and this is what he says. He says, in the first part, you do this, and then the first thing is that you're going to get some fevers. Things are going to happen to you. Now, you keep disobeying. In other words, you know, here's the Lord is trying to woo you back into a relationship. You keep disobeying, and then there goes another level of punishment. You keep at that, and then another level of punishment. You keep disobeying, and then another level, and it gets all the way to, you know, probably the worst thing that happens is that you eat your son's and your daughter's flesh. And this was really this really happened, by the way, twice in the history of Israel, in 2 Kings, you know, more predominantly. And then, but it was also more of maybe a prophetic word about what's going to come or what's going to happen if you keep this way. Now, obviously, if you start eating your son's flesh, and a lot of it deals with, because the next verse is, I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars. This was in relation to sacrificial, you know, idolatry in this regard. And so, obviously, if you've gone that road, you've totally gone off the reservation. And so he's dealing with this. And this whole time, he gives these punishments in blocks. This is what's going to happen. This is what will pass. But if you don't, if you keep on this journey of disobedience and abhorring his commands, well, this is going to happen. And so you'll see, even woven in these things is God's heart to bring us out of that place of punishment and giving opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Now, And the end of this, even when all this is happening, God says, in spite of this, when they're landing their enemies, he says, I will not reject you. It's grace. I will not reject you. I will still be your God. We still walk in covenant relationship. I will remember your fathers. And even though these things are happening, God sings, I'm still going to come through for you because I'm the Lord your God. And it's really the heart of the Lord that really begins to shine through in all this. Amen? So let's close our eyes. Next week, or tomorrow, you know, we changed our EMP format. So tomorrow, we're not going to be doing Leviticus, but Tuesday, we'll finish Leviticus chapter 27. So let's think about this in a moment. Let's talk about obedience for a second here. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Is there anything in your life right now that you're walking in disobedience? You know that you should obey the Lord, but you're not, for whatever reason. Right? Financially, relationally, dealing with your time, you know, where your eyes go to, whatever it may be, you know that you should be obeying the Lord very clearly, but you're just not. Whatever it may be, this is your opportunity in the Lord to repent. This is your opportunity to turn around and walk forward and start walking back to the light in this regard, that the fullness of the blessings of the Lord may just simply flow through your life. So let's pray as a song is being sung this morning. Let's seek the Lord, and let's just ask God for his hand upon our lives. Just ask the Holy Spirit to convict us of anything that we're walking in disobedience right now. Just make it right before him. Thank you. Let's pray this morning as we ask the Spirit to move in our hearts and our lives. Is there anything that's the area of disobedience or area that we're not obeying God fully in? Ask God, one, to move in your heart that you would repent. But the other part, too, is ask for the strength to make things right. Let's pray this morning. Having a little bit of a technically difficulty, so let's just go over our last slide. And so this morning, let's just pray for Singapore. Let's pray in our mission focus. Let's pray for SPSG. Let's lift up the Indonesian ministry. Pray for Pastor Selamat and Febe. Let's ask the Lord's hand to be upon them and their ministry. Let's pray for the board in Singapore that will just continue to grow and the church will continue to grow. Let's just cover Singapore and Indonesia this morning. Let's go to our prayer for our missions committee. Let's ask God to really use this committee to further the missional work of SP. Let's pray for wisdom and clarity and just continue relationships with missionaries and NGOs. Let's just cover. Let's cover our local outreach. Let's pray for our community center in Sangpun, that it's a place we can then be used for God and for His community. We pray for Igape, the homeless ministry, SP Lights, Freedom, and Bridge. Ask the Lord to continue to bless and move upon our community and use us to reach out. Let's pray. Let's pray over our activities. Pray for IP meeting tonight and SPU. Let's pray for the hand of the Lord to be upon our prayer people and our college students. And let's just ask the Lord. Also, the youth group is going on their retreat today. Let's just pray for them as well, Pastor Nate and the youth in their retreat. Let's pray for House Church tonight, McCain and Discovery Bay, as they close out this season. Let's just pray for the hand of the Lord to be upon them as they learn and grow. Pray, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for the reminder, Lord, the power of obedience, God. Lord, your blessing flows, Lord. But on the flip side of that, God, when we disobey, Lord, when we abhor your commandments, God, Lord, then distress, Lord God, comes our way. And so we pray, Lord, for a people that's obedient, God. Lord, how will we know if we're your disciples, Lord? Not only if we love one another, God, but if we obey what you ask us to do. And so help us, God, to do that. Lord, we also, I just want to lift up, continue to lift up Adam, God, and his family, Lord. We're mindful that the verdict will likely come out today, and so we pray for a good report, God, and just bless. Lord, watch over us the rest of this day, God. And we pray, Lord, that we would glorify your son, Jesus, in all that we do, God. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.